Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a new podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry. Whether you're in animal welfare or a for-profit pet company, get some PR and buzz for your organization. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tan, one of the hosts of the show, along with Alexandra Card, a gal who hails from France, but she just moved and she travels the world in the hopes of spaying and neutering stray cats. Bonjour, Alexandre.
Bonjour, tout le monde. I've just moved to Vancouver, guys. Finally, loving it. Not loving that it's 7 a.m. right now, but you know. And today we're here with the producer, Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio, who is the man who gets us to you each and every week. Hey, Mark.
Hi, how's everyone doing this week? A lot of fun things happening here at Pet Life Radio. We just added some new podcasts. We've got one called Let's Talk About Pets with Nessie and Kat, who are vet techs, and they're very funny. And we have another one called Quirky Catnips, which is definitely a quirky new show. Other than that, made it through another hurricane. We're still standing. Still in one piece.
Yay! That's good. Yay.
The devastation there is just really hard to watch. So our thoughts are with everyone down there.
Yeah, it missed us, so I'm lucky.
Well, we're really honored to be part of the Pet Life Radio Network, and you can do PR for yourself. And Alex, Mark, and I are going to show you how to do it each and every week.
And this week, we have a very, very special guest who has truly changed the world of PR, Peter Shankman. Peter is not only an author and an entrepreneur, he's also the founder of Hero, Help a Reporter Out, and SOS Media Queries, which have changed the way businesses and PR professionals connect with the media. Hi, Peter. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. We're big fans, like Mary said earlier.
And his books are amazing, everybody. Go find them on Amazon, right, Peter?
Anywhere, yeah.
Could you tell us a bit about yourself and just a little introduction of you?
Sure. I mean, not much to tell. I am an entrepreneur. I've started 5 companies. I've sold 3 of them, currently run 2 of them. I am a born and raised New York City kid who was told most of his young life as a kid, most of his child life, to sit down and stop interrupting the class. And it wasn't until I got into my mid-30s, where I was diagnosed with ADHD and realized that all of my success was because of my ADHD, not in spite of it. From that, I was able to sort of build that and parlay that into a larger, I guess, sort of way of living. I've written several books about neurodiversity, about ADHD. I've written several books on marketing. I'm a talking head on most of the cable news networks. I am a single dad of an 11-year-old daughter and 4-year-old rescue dog, both of whom have stopped listening to me. And yeah, I'm just very lucky. I'm having a really good time and just trying to do my thing.
Yeah. So you are very well known for starting Hero, which stands for Help a Reporter Out. And now you started SOS Media Inquiries. And that was just a short time ago, right? Like a few months ago.
Source of Sources, SOS, launched in April of this year. And the goal was really, I wanted to bring back what I originally started, which was Hero. Hero was acquired back in 2010. And I just heard from a lot of people that it wasn't necessarily the same company that I sold. And, you know, look, it's been 14 years. That happens. So I figured that it was time to maybe go back to basics. And so Source of Sources is a 3-times-a-day email newsletter that connects journalists with sources. It's for totally free. We send out queries from the media, to sources all around the world. If you are a source and you get these emails, you can simply reply to the reporter looking for the information, and you can wind up in getting some free press. So it's pretty easy. But yeah, it's growing. We're at about 25,000 members now and growing, and we have about 20 or so queries per email. So a lot of chances to get some free press.
Yeah, I was a television reporter for many years, so I used Hero on both ends of the spectrum. And it was really amazing. But of course, now we're on SOS. So everybody should move to SOS, right, Peter?
I'm certainly all for that. Yeah, I like to think that we're helping people and doing it well.
Okay, but we have to just get back to quick thing. Tell us about your rescue pup.
So Waffle, he's not listening to me at all. But Waffle is back there, and he's the dog that's the cat guy. I grew up as a cat guy my entire life, and constantly had cats. And then during COVID, I'm a single dad, and my daughter, "Daddy, I want a dog." "No, you don't." "Yeah, I want a dog." "Okay." So I knew that there were really no dogs available during COVID. All the shelters were empty. So I called my guys at Best Friends, where I volunteer, and I said, "Hey, look, I know there are no dogs, and you have none, and there are no dogs. So if you happen to get one, which you won't because there are no dogs available," you know, and the guy, like, "Peter, don't worry. Totally gotcha. I see what you're saying. It's all good. Don't worry." 3 days later, this idiot appears. And yeah, Waffle's been with us for about 4 years now. He's just sitting back there on his little bed and just doing his thing. He's a good guy. I love him. But yeah, cats are a lot easier, man. You get a cat, you need to go on a trip or something. The cat's like, "Good, I didn't want you here anyway." Dogs, like, New York City, man, it's no less than $100 a night to put that thing in, you know, because they don't have, like, dog boarding. No, God forbid, this is New York City. They don't have dog boarding. They have doggy spa and hotel.
Oh, yeah.
And I refuse to call it that. So when I have to bring the dog because I'm going on a business trip, I'm just like, "I'm bringing Waffle to storage." And that's because I refuse to call it doggy spa and hotel. It's storage. It's dog storage. So, yeah, that's where we are.
Yeah, well, you're in New York City, and I can tell you the pet boarding and grooming industries exploding.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's all because of private equity. They're buying up all the boarding and grooming places. They're buying up all the vets. It's not good, man. They're buying up all these vets. I think they put money into Veg. They put money into all these Blue Pearl, all these guys. And you got to find the guys that are still private, and you got to support them because, you know, nothing good comes out of private equity. And I know that for a fact. Harrow, the company that acquired Harrow, was acquired by private equity. And so nothing good comes out of private equity, man. Red Lobster didn't die because too many people were, they didn't go bankrupt because too many people were eating shrimp. They died and went bankrupt because they were acquired by private equity. Same thing with malls.
I know. Malls were nice, weren't they? Oh my gosh.
Go in, play an arcade, go play a little Donkey Kong, man. Yeah. Well, you girls don't know what I'm talking about. You might in the corner, Mark, you might be old enough to remember going to an arcade and playing Donkey Kong.
But... Oh yeah, for sure. I love the mall.
No idea.
Mall in the 80s.
Yeah, putting a quarter up there to say you had next game.
Well, when we come back, we've got to pay for the show, as you know, Peter. So we're going to be right back with Peter, who's going to give us more tips and tricks when it comes to pet PR.
Here's Daryl Michelson, owner of Furniture Cat Furniture.
Back in 1990, I was in the market for some cat furniture. And as looking at the cat furniture available, I realized that most of it is basically overpriced junk. The big difference between our furniture and other cat furniture is the fact that we use plywood, and all other cat furniture is made with some sort of a particle board.
You can see the furniture difference online at furniture.com. That's Purnitre.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Peter Shankman, the PR expert. Peter, what is one thing you see PR professionals or businesses doing wrong when it comes to pitching their story? And do you have any tips on how they can correct it?
I think one of the things that you need to understand about journalists is that your job is not to get yourself press. Your job is to help a journalist. If you can help a journalist do their job better, you are guaranteed to get press. And I think too many people don't realize that. Too many people go in and they're like, you know, here's my story and here's why I'm great. And here's, you know, not thinking about the fact the journalist is on deadline, has a job to do. So the first thing I suggest is that you think about going into your story and going into your job with the realization that you want to help a journalist get the story they need and give you the exposure you need. So, you know, that means figuring out sort of where the best and how the best way to pitch that journalist is. Are they on deadline? Do they have time? Do they need a short blurb? Do they need a longer hit? Whatever it is, figure that out and give that to them. Your job, again, make their life easier. Do that and everything will be simple.
So the people listening to this predominantly are small animal rescues and small pet brands, a lot of startups, and they're trying everything to get some buzz for their organizations. And you have some easy suggestions on how they can do it when you basically don't have any money.
Well, obviously, the key is use source of sources. I mean, the whole purpose of the service is to help small businesses that don't have any money to get press. That goes without saying. So that's number one. But I'd say number two, make sure you have a story that you can share that the journalist can utilize. So know what the journalist wants. Know the information that they're looking for, right? Give them exactly what they need and figure out a way to make it better to help them. Because again, they're there to do a job. If you can give them that information and help them do that job better, your life is going to become so much easier, and as is theirs. So if you can figure out a way to do that, have a pre-planned pitch prepared and send it when it is the right time. Send it when it's exactly what they want, right? Figure out, you know, how can you send this in three paragraphs and tell them exactly what they want?
I often will see press releases, especially when I was a TV news reporter, 2-3 pages long.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm not going to read this. I usually would just read the headline and that's what I would decide it on.
100%. So can you create a story, a headline, whatever, that tells exactly what they need and gives them exactly what they need? If that's the case, they will call you back and they will give you, you will get the press that you want. It's really about being fast, getting to the right point. Exactly. That's it.
And Peter, for those nonprofit and small pet businesses who are trying to do their own PR, do you recommend them to use AI at all when like writing their press releases or?
No, I don't. And the reason being is that the journalists will know.
Okay. Yeah.
AI still has its very own style. The problem is AI is not going to make, if you're a good writer, AI will help make you a better writer. But if you're a lazy writer or a bad writer, it's not going to make you a good writer, right? Yeah. So your key is what you can do is you could write a great pitch, run it through AI and tell it to tighten it up or clean it up, make it stronger. That's a good idea. But in terms of creating a pitch entirely AI generated, I don't recommend that at all.
Yeah, that's what we recommend as well. Okay, perfect.
Do you think though that that's changing and it's going to get better and then the future of PR agencies is going to go away?
No, because until AI understands sentiment better than humans, there's always a better way to do it.
Got it. So you're also known for your insights on customer experience and loyalty, and you wrote a book called Zombie Loyalists, Using Great Service to Create Rabid Fans. So how can pet businesses use these concepts to stand out and build stronger relationships with their customers or supporters?
My best sort of advice by this is to follow what Chewy.com does. Chewy, when NASA passed away, NASA was my 21-year-old rescue cat. And when NASA passed away back in 2020, something like that, I had a shipment on order with them and it arrived. And I just forgot to cancel it, right? And of course, it was cat food. And it, you know, I get the cat, I'm like, oh man, it broke my heart. And wow. I called them and I'm like, I got someone on their tech team. I'm like, guys, look, you need to send this back. NASA passed away last month. And they told me not only not send it back, to donate it to a rescue organization in my neighborhood. And then they sent me a card remembering NASA.
Aww,
I mean, this day, it chokes me up even talking about it now. And this is, Chewy's a huge million-dollar company, right? Multi-million dollar company. If they can do that, what can you do to make your customers happier and connect with you? You don't need to redefine pie. The thing about it is customer service and customer experience is so bad all over the place that I don't need you to be awesome. I need you to suck slightly less than everyone else. If you can suck slightly less than everyone else, you're going to win everything. And you laugh, but think about the last time you went on a flight, right? Was your last flight good?
I just came back. The flight was good, but the hotel was horrible.
Okay. What made the flight good?
Customer service.
Why?
Hands down. They offered me food and drinks.
Wow.
I mean, they were really they were really, you know, water.
For future reference, Mary, that's not a good flight. That's actually just called a flight, a regular flight. They did exactly what they promised you. They flew you somewhere, they gave you a seat, and they flew you back. They didn't let you fly the plane, right?
Right.
The fact that you took off on time, landed on time, and didn't crash into the side of a mountain, and you're there like, it was a great flight, customer service. No, that's just a flight. Because what you expected was to get to the airport, everyone gets through the TSA except you. You get pulled for the anal probe, okay? Now you come out of this room, you're like 20 minutes to get to your gate, but don't worry, it's gate 4, it's right there. Except no, they moved it without telling you. Now it's gate 427, and that's 7 airports in 4 states that way, right? So now you're running across the airport, right? Half your clothes are falling out of your bag. You had 4 mini strokes. You get to the gate. Don't worry, your plane's still there. You're going to make it. But you weren't there 30 minutes in advance. So now you were in seat 4B. No, now you're in seat 39 bathroom, right? So that's what you expect. So the fact that they simply took off on time, landed on time, and did exactly what they said they'd do and nothing more, and you're over the moon, means I don't need you to be great. And you just suck slightly less than everyone expects you to.
That is so true. Oh my gosh.
So that's the number one rule for customer service. Be slightly better than everyone else and you will win all the things. You don't need to spend billions. You don't need to do all that.
That's true. That is so true. So what's your perceptions of the pet industry?
Well, twofold. I had a vet named Dr. Peter Soboroff, who runs New York Cat Hospital up on 70th Street and West End Avenue. And he is the most wonderful, caring, kindest vet I've ever had in my life. I brought both my cats to him over the course of 20 years. I have no doubt that Karma, my cat, put one of his kids through college. Like, that cat was in that fucking hospital weekly.
Oh.
I found that cat in the street, and that cat had more problems, but that cat had to be radiated, I remember. But that being said, he was the kindest and most wonderful doctor I've ever had in my life. He still exists, and they're still there, but now I have a dog, and Waffle can't go to the cat doctor. So I take Waffle to a vet around here, which is very nice. Yes, I mentioned your name. That doesn't mean you have to get up. But here's the thing. They're not a one-off vet. They're owned by, like I said earlier, they're owned by, they're acquired by private equity. And so while the doctors are very nice, they have to operate in the constraints at which are being given to them by private equity, and you can see it. And so it's not that great. They're perfectly fine in terms of taking care of Waffle and his health and everything, but that same level of care, we really do care about your animals, is visible, but not as strong as it was. And so, yeah, therein lies the problem, right? Everyone wants to build their company, sell it, and get rich. What happens when they do? Whole reason I started Source of Sources is because Arrow got acquired and it wasn't what I built. It wasn't the same thing. And everyone kept telling me that. So
yeah, we worked with a few pet startup companies and who got sold to the big guys. And the original owners and founders that we worked with now hate the product.
Yeah. And look, you know, I get it. It's sort of the nature of the beast. I live in a gorgeous apartment on the 56th floor of a high rise in New York City with a view of the entire city. And that wouldn't happen and I not sold my company, right? So there's that, you have that middle ground there. But yeah, I get it.
So they always say that the pet industry is recession proof, especially when it comes to pet food. And the American Pet Products Association actually warned the industry last year at Global Pet Expo, which is one of the big trade shows. And they said that the pet industry as a whole is increasing in terms of billions of dollars spent, but there's fewer pets because people are not adopting due to inflation and the cost of having a pet. And they warned that pet food companies especially should stop raising the prices.
You know, it's funny. In the U.S., everyone's talking about inflation and oh my God, look at what the president's currently doing about inflation. And the price of milk is so much higher than it was 5 years ago, and the price of my TV is so much higher. That has nothing to do with inflation. That has to do with greedy companies raising their prices to increase their stock. If General Mills wanted to lower the prices of cereal, they could absolutely 100% do that. That has nothing to do with inflation. If pet companies or pet food companies wanted to lower the price of their pet food, they absolutely could. It has nothing to do with inflation. They don't, because if they do, their stock price suffers and their board kicks out the CEO. It's a horrible cycle, one that's been going on for 100 years, but it is rarely the fault of inflation that prices are going up. You look at a company, I forget which country in Africa, and there are photos of people having to bring wheelbarrows worth of money, of cash, to buy a loaf of bread, right? Because of hyperinflation. This is like 40 years ago, whatever. That's not what's happening here. The dollar doesn't stretch as much because the CEOs of the companies realize they can charge more. If you look at the pricing during the pandemic, oh, we have to raise our prices because of supply chain issues. Well, it's been 3 years. Supply chain issues have gone back down. Why haven't the prices? That's not an economic issue. That's simply greed. I live in a city that costs me about $500 to wake up every day, right? So, you know, dealing with things like that, you have to ask yourself, where does it end? And usually it goes back to the manufacturers. My soda, my bottle of soda, which I paid 75 cents for back in 1989, now cost me $3.
That's insane.
So do you believe that the pet industry, they always say it's recession proof. Have you found that to be true?
I do believe it is. Yeah, I believe that it's recession proof in the same way that, you know, funeral industry is recession proof, right? People are going to die. People are hungry. But the question becomes, things are recession proof until the companies do enough stupid things that they become a victim of their own success. Being recession proof doesn't mean that you can raise prices by 40% in 1 year. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Alex?
Yeah, that's so interesting. I never thought of inflation like that. So that's good insights, actually. A little last question, Peter, for all the small pet businesses and nonprofits. You know, it's harder to stand out in the crowd lately. And I know you said you just need to make the job of the journalist easier. But is there anything else that you can give them on, like, how can they stand out in the PR world or in the marketing world?
Yeah, I mean, one of the best things you can do is to, instead of pitching yourself, come up with a story about a trend in the industry. If you sell pet food and there are four other companies, you know, you're a small business, you know, you have a small pet store and there are four other small pet stores in your neighborhood or in your state or whatever, talk to them. See if you guys just, and it's oh, I don't want to talk to them, they're a competitor. I'm not saying you have to compete with them. I'm saying talk to them and find out if all of you are noticing any interesting things in the industry, right? For some, you know, we're noticing that 40% of our customers are asking for non-GMO dog food, whatever, cat food, or, you know, or preferring dry to wet, whatever. A trend is much more likely to be covered than an individual story. A trend allows for a bigger angle on the same story, right? Joe's House of Dog Food is selling more vegetarian dog food is not as exciting as industry sees shift to vegetarian dog food. So figure out what kind of trends are happening in the industry.
What do you think about the humanization of pets? That's, you know, it's so all over. You look at all the pet marketing, whether it's a shelter or a rescue or a small pet business, you know, everybody's showcasing animals like they are, you know, a human child. How can they capitalize on that?
I always go back to the two best ads I ever saw for shelter pets. The first one was, in the middle of everything going on, someone took out a classified ad in the newspaper, looking for companionship, very excitable, love trying new things, always up for sports or games, or just greeting you at home wearing nothing but a smile. Call me anytime, or I think they said FaceTime me anytime, and they put a number, and people FaceTimed, and it was an iPad in a cage at a rescue shelter. And there was a dog in the rescue shelter. And I think they got like over 30 adoptions of other animals from that. So that was number one. And the second one was a guy who gets stopped at stopped for speeding. And the traffic cop comes over and says, you know how fast you're going? He says, you're going 65 miles an hour and you just look so cool doing it. Let me see your license. God, that's a cool picture. You're just so awesome. Sign this. No, it's not a ticket. I just want your signature. Yeah, you're just amazing. You have a great day. And the guy's sitting in the car and he's like, totally confused. And he looks over and he sees his dog sitting in the passenger seat looking at the guy. And it fades to black and the caption goes, be the kind of person your dog thinks you are.
Aww.
Right? Just such cool. So, you know, it's not about, hey, we have a dog, come rescue it. Or, hey, we have an overpopulation, come help us. Figure out other ways to make the pet look cool. Right? What else can you do to drive traffic to your rescue organization, your shelter, whatever?
Okay, so now I have another question related to that. So I'm sure you've seen the ASPCA Sarah McLachlan commercial.
Ah!
Yes. So people actually hate it.
That ruined that song for me.
Yeah. And so what do you think happened there? So they raised millions off of that, but then I feel like they got a revolt.
They did. It's a one-time thing. You know, you better raise as much freaking money as possible because when you ruin a song, no one's going to go back to you. Right? It's the Sally Struthers effect. Sally Struthers was a great actress. We loved her in All the Family. And then all of a sudden, you don't think of Sally Struthers, you don't think of starving kids in Africa.
Yeah.
Right? I actually made a video of Waffle sitting on the couch, staring at me with the Sarah McLachlan song. Right? And it said, won't you please help Waffle, who didn't get attention for 15 whole minutes while his dad was doing a TV interview? You know, it's Yeah, follow my Instagram is mostly me and the dog. It's at Peter Shankman. But yeah, and of course it's at Peter's Dog Waffle. But yeah, it's those, you know, it's the premise that when you ruin a song like that, you better be prepared for the backlash.
Yeah.
Even South Park did an episode where, you know, the song goes and Cartman goes, I can't hear that now. You
know? So I wondered, is that song now ruined for that singer celebrity?
Absolutely. And look, it's great. It's great that it raised millions of dollars, but yeah, no one plays that song, right? So, you gotta wonder how much royalty she lost in Muzak, because you're not gonna hear that song in an elevator.
Another follow-up question I just thought of. So we work a lot with shelters and rescues as well. And there's always this big debate if when you're promoting an animal, it should be sad and talk about the animals, you know, like it's a three-legged, blind, deaf dog, or should you just talk about how cute it is and the attributes?
I love I always love ads that play on themselves, that make fun of themselves. You know, the joke being, for adoption, blind dog, one dog, blind, deaf, missing a leg, half an ear, answers to the name of Lucky. You know, I love the dog. But I err on the side of humor. I think humor is the best seller in the world. I think you could sell anything with humor. Again, you know, a depressing Sarah McLachlan ad might help in the short term, but a joke lives forever.
That's true.
There was another, I remember there was an anti-drunk driving campaign that showed a dog at home. And it showed him looking out the window and just very sad. His owner wasn't there and the whole thing. And kept looking. And the tagline just said, don't drive drunk. Your dog will never understand why you didn't come back.
Aww.
It's like, oh, God, you know. Aww. But it works. On the flip side, you know, there are brilliant cat commercials out there. I think, what's the treat? Cat
Temptations? Treat?
Friskies.
Oh.
Go Google Frisky's Super Bowl commercial or Frisky's Christmas commercial. This amazing thing where they set up a whole Christmas room with like beautiful glass ornaments and Christmas trees and candles and flowers and beautiful, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then they released 30 cats into the room that just destroyed, right? And we're just knocking everything down. And then in the corner outside or whatever, someone, right, shakes the Friskies bag and all the cats look up and they run out and you know, the place is still a mess, but it showed that there's like the power of Friskies. Merry Christmas. Brilliant.
That is so awesome. So, Peter, we think we're kind of cat ladies too. Well, we're bipetual too. I mean, we represent. we actually have more dog clients because dogs pay the bills.
Yep.
But Alex, I don't know if you know, runs a cat rescue in Greece. And she always has cats that need homes. And so this is like subtle pressure. Waffles needs a sibling or two.
Good. We're good for now. I'm sure at some point there'll be another cat in the house. But right now, Waffle is 4 years old and still thinks he's 6 months. So I need him to lose the puppy phase first.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, when you're ready, you reach out to us because we can supply you with any kind of animal you want.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's funny because on the front page of Source of Sources, just like it was on Harrow, it says, hey, if you found success using Source of Sources, we are free, but feel free to donate a few bucks to Best Friends. So I've always had Best Friends as well as the New York City Mayor's Alliance on Animals. That's just always been my two go-tos.
That's so awesome. Well, cool. Alex, do you have any other questions for the great PR wizard?
Oh, I think you gave us so much insight. I'm so glad you joined us.
I'm happy to be here anytime.
Okay. Well, Peter, do you have any final thoughts to tell all our listeners who are, you know, they're just working really hard every day, doing everything they can to get animals adopted or pet products sold?
Life is too short. Have fun with what you're doing and do it because you believe in it. I think that, and I don't think I need to tell you guys that. You know, at the end of the day, we don't really have a lot of time here. So just do the best you can to make life better for someone else.
All right. Well, thank you so much. That's a wrap for this show. We're so excited to be doing this for all of you out there who are making life better for animals. And do you have a question you want us to answer? Reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under The Whisker Report. And we'll try to answer it in a future podcast episode. As we always say,
bark loud and purr smart.
Thanks so much, everybody. Bye.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.